This time we're reviewing the last five episodes and epic conclusion of... Hey guys, welcome back for the second and final installment of FilmCore TV Corner Stranger Things 2 review this season. With me I have TJ and Lulu again.
Hey.
So let's dig right in to chapter 5, Dig Dug. Basically, to just as a quick recap, Hopper gets trapped in a hentai tentacle porn living nightmare. Bob the Brain finally becomes useful by unraveling the mystery of Will the Wise's Dig Dug style map of Hawkins. Eleven visits her mom and discovers she's crazy. Lucas reveals some secrets to Max, and Dustin and Steve become our latest big little duo.
Okay, I just need to point out how Hopper totally emasculated Bob. You know, like, when you go down there and he's, like, wrapped in that tentacle, and like as soon as he has like one free arm, he's like, give me the knife, you know, and like cuts himself out of those tentacles. I don't know, I thought it was like
when they go to rescue him and the
yeah thing.
I think that there was definitely between like Hopper and Bob, I think we're supposed to always kind of compare them.
Yeah.
And I think we're always like, oh, Bob's kind of like the soft nerd, and like Hopper's like, you know, the anti-hero scruffy cop badass.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah, totally. He's a big man, but like,
yeah,
it was very clear in that episode. It was like, you're just doing all this yourself. They're just kind of helping you escape these, you know, like,
yeah. I mean, I definitely think that we get to see a different side of Bob towards the end of the season, which is nice that he gets to kind of like redeem himself, you know, as the hero that we always kind of wanted him to be.
I mean, this is where he shows his true colors, right? He's Bob the Brain. So he's like, uses
yeah
that big old brain and kind of does the thing that we need him to do.
That's true. I mean, definitely, there's two instances where Bob definitely, without them, I don't know how the plot would have moved forward.
Right.
I love Bob.
I did too.
Yeah, he's actually, I mean, he's going to stick around. I think he's awesome. I don't want to see him become an asshole.
If you're watching this, you have to have seen all of the season, because I guess a spoiler alert now. Nancy and Jonathan basically overcome with how guilty they feel about Barb dying.
Okay, I believe you.
I just find it
shoehorned in. That's how I felt.
Yeah, I found this whole, like, serious compassion about Barb kind of shoehorned in. I guess we didn't really get enough of her and Nancy's relationship, but...
I do love me some Brett Gelman, though.
If Barb had not died and they had just had this...
It brought forward some interesting things with all the characters, I guess.
I just think Nancy and Jonathan's storyline is, like, the weakest one, and unfortunately involves Barb. Maybe they could have done
They
that.
Got put on Barb duty for the whole season, almost.
The thing, I also, like, I mean, I want to touch on kind of, like, so their method was, basically, they're going to make it seem like we're going to expose them. But first, we need, like, harder evidence. Mm-hmm. So they get, air quotes, captured mm-hmm by the government.
And, of course, they're two steps ahead, just like last season.
Yeah, so they take them in and they, the doctor.
Paul Reiser's character. Dr. Owens.
Okay, yeah. So then Dr. Owens takes them in and basically confesses to the entire cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
And
very villainous monologue from a good guy for some reason.
I mean, at that point, you don't really know that he's a good guy. So,
yeah. But he sounds good. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's Paul Reiser.
He's the only one who seems to care. Like, we saw that he's the only one who seems to care about Will Byers, like, living. Remember when all the doctors were in the room? It was episode 4 when he's like,
I mean, I think he does add a little bit. He's a little more of the human element and the whole, like,
government
entity that exists within the show.
He's the lighter Dr. Papa.
Do you think it's because post-Trump, they're like, all right, well, we gotta
soften? No, I think they definitely wanted to definitely add a human element to it. And I think that was Paul Reiser.
Mm-hmm.
But after he confesses, they then take this tape to the journalist, Detective Murray, who's been investigating Barb being missing. Basically, he says that, listen, guys, this tape's awesome, but the story itself is too crazy.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't going to believe there's, like, a demonic portal out underneath Hawkins. So we got to, like, make it a little bit easier for them to accept that the government's covering up a massive spill.
I love how that epiphany came from him, like, downing, like, vodka. I was like, this is too strong. Like, I need to water it.
Water it down.
What?
Yeah.
Water. What do you put in water? The government spills toxins in the lake.
Drowned
Barb
government.
Was by a pool. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I thought maybe him giving the kids the alcohol. I don't know. Not
it was
terrible.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, a little inappropriate.
A lot of that conversation was inappropriate.
Very European, you know, of him.
Yeah, him asking about that. Honestly, the whole time that scene was happening, I thought that he was going to, like, double-cross them.
Oh.
You know, in a way, like, I was like, why is he giving him so much alcohol? Why is he, like, So immediately kind of accepting of like, I'm going to help you expose this. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that he's motivated to do so because, you know, he's trying. He's a conspiracist.
I like his conspiracy theory rant, though, about talking like evaluating people in general as a society. I thought it was kind of poignant.
Is it really good?
Spoke to me because I'm like super against conspiracy theories. I don't really think give him any credit. So it's kind of like, yeah, maybe I should. I was used a little convincing in that scene. Yeah.
I think he was like a perfect, like he was just like a, he's a conspiracy theorist and also like a great person reader. You know, like he just knows exactly what kind of trauma Jonathan has. Like your father left you.
Yeah, I was like, dang, can you stop reading us, please?
Read him like a book. Like,
and you are scared of being simple and like boring.
What's his name? Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's get on the issue of the pullout couch. That wasn't slept on. I mean, we're jumping into like the next episode a little bit, but while we're here, what do you guys think about the pullout couch?
Thought it was a long time coming, a little drawn out.
I'm glad it didn't draw out more, you know, because there's always a risk of them like, you know, ending with that episode being like, all right, they're never gonna get together and we'll only see that in season 3 because they need stuff to write for season 3. So I'm glad they just like didn't wait till the end.
Do we need 2 fake outs though? Jesus. I mean, some of the padding I feel like in this season was some of the classic tropes of like will they won't they, which is so like dragged on a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And
but they could have dragged it all longer.
Honestly, I mean, actually I'll just say right now, like I don't get the whole Jonathan.
I liked him a lot more first season, Jonathan, as a character. This one, he was kind of like,
meh.
Meh.
I agree. I actually,
like I said, Steve was shining this season, Steve, so it was hard to be on Jonathan.
This was Steve's moment.
Steve is very likable, even when he was being the douche.
I mean, like, we're talking about Steve during.
Yeah. I mean, well, like, speaking of Steve, like, he's taking on this really awesome kind of older brother role with Dustin and a lot of the other kids, and it's adorable.
I love it, and I'm so happy. Maybe there's no reason for Steve to even be in the show anymore, but I love that the writers are sort of forcing him into the thing, because
into the mix. Yeah, he broke up, so it's like, why would Steve be around if we broke up?
It's just like he's so likable. He's such a charming, great screen presence. So I'm like, I'm glad that they found a way to like.
Yeah, we all have a crush on Steve.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just like also, I think it's great that they. I mean, I think that despite all the other tropes that they've used in this series, I think it's nice that they have established such like, you know, strong character development within Steve.
Yeah.
So when we first met him, we like hated him. You know, now look where we are. Like
We're all Team Steve. His character seems to grow with his hair.
I don't like his hair. I mean, I know, like, I just know it's a good set of hair. Well,
speaking of characters growing hair, 11 leaves her Hopper hideout and goes to visit her mom, and discovers that she's in a Hodor style time loop, basically.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense. Like, that's a crazy way to live your life. I don't know if you guys have seen American Horror Story, but there's a season. Which one?
Coven.
Oh, okay. Where basically, like, your hell is, like, the same moment in time, like, repeating.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, different for everyone. And that kind of reminds me of that. The same, like, she's just reliving the same day over and over again.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, this is, like, why I felt so bad for Hodor. It seemed like he was trapped in that as well. You know?
I mean, that's basically what it is. Yeah. I mean, maybe they got a little bit of inspiration from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I took acid.
I mean, do you think she can ever break out of it? I mean, do you think it's a matter of that, or it's just...
I think her wiring's all messed up after they, like, they shocked her brain and reconfigured it.
They almost, like, lobotomized it. It's like a electric shock lobotomy they caused her.
But if you notice, like, she does, like, nosebleed, and she change the channel. So there is, like, a psychic ability there.
She's got some underlying, maybe, subconscious thought. I don't know. It seemed like she was able to, because that's how Elf goes to find 8, right? That's how she locates 8.
Yes.
Through her mom's help. So maybe there is something there, subconscious. Maybe she can. Maybe she can break out of it.
I mean, we know that Papa is still alive. So, I mean.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we'll get to a little bit later, but it's revealed that he is not.
Donald, I thought it was just something dead, like a desperate man would say, you know, before he.
I think we don't. I don't know. I mean, I don't.
But maybe, yeah.
Did you interpret that as he's still alive?
I think I did.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I believed him.
I guess I was a little bit more skeptical. I just, yeah. I was like, oh, all right. But yeah, why would they even, bring that question in if they're not going to, like.
That's true. I mean, I think that.
We never saw him die, right?
Yeah.
We never explicitly saw him die. And I think that always leaves it open to him being survived.
That's a good point.
Now that Elle knows the secret about her mom, while she's staying at the house, her mom's sister contacts the police because she knows that Hopper might be looking for her.
Well, yeah, I think she contacted Hopper. And I don't think she's like a bad person for doing that in general.
But Elle just doesn't know that know that there's beef between Elle and Hopper. Yeah. So.
I was wondering if we were all on the same page. Like, I don't think that Anne is an asshole for, like...
No. I think definitely Hopper had come and said, hey, if this girl shows up here, please notify me. I mean, in this point, he's, like, a surrogate father. So, he of course,
That's good.
You have a little network of support.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely don't think Anne would have, like, ratted 11 out to, like, you know... was the actual authorities. Yeah. Like, she just wanted to let Hopper know that she was okay.
Yeah, Elle's just being a brat.
Yeah.
Just like Hopper said.
Yeah, that was supposed to be her this whole season.
Yeah, she's such a brat.
She's going through changes.
speaking of changing, we have Max, who is now, like, pretty solidified into the group now that Lucas has kind of exposed the secrets to her, which she doesn't believe.
Yeah.
She doesn't buy it. I mean, obviously, why would you buy it?
Yeah.
Just hearing it out of his mouth.
I did like the comment where she made where it was like when he's reciting the story to her and she's like, oh, it doesn't sound that original. Mm-hmm. Like, which is a play on the whole idea that Stranger Things constantly rips on,
everything
80s
else.
Tropes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wait, how have you guys felt about that this season, though?
About it not being original or about...
Yeah, like it just like playing on like kind of like classic story.
Well, I think what frustrated me about like season 2 was that... We were talking about it in the last podcast. They just changed some elements and it was like basically the same story. So instead of
bigger
Joyce having the lights, she has like these paper trails that she's like sticking on the wall, and
Will's not trapped in the upside down. The upside down is trapped in
Will. Definitely. Like, I was like, how many montages of them like solving a little puzzle do we need?
Yeah.
You know,
they were not only were they not original, but they were like ripping themselves off from the season one. Like, they were just, just giving us a carbon copy of season one.
Right, they pulled a J.J. Abrams.
Do you think it was due to like? I mean, I think you mentioned it before, I'm sure, TJ, that it was supposed to be an anthology of Elle these next seasons.
Yeah, well, John had mentioned it in the last recording. But yeah, it was supposed to be Elle moving on to a different place and things following her to that place, right? So it was just going to be Elle. Everybody else was
history. I think definitely, I think that you can tell based on the writing, kind of like how the story is kind of resolved itself, that they did quite a bit of fan service this season.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm interested to see, like, now they've kind of said...
Stranger Earth things.
They've kind of, like, they've kind of paid their dues to us in this season. So I'm really hoping that they just say, okay, we really tied all these things up and we can really move along to, like, more of an original story the next season.
Right.
Like, for season 3.
Agreed.
I don't know. Well... We'll have predictions for season 3 in the end of the episode, right?
So yeah.
Like, I'll save it. I'll keep it quiet for now.
Well, speaking of Will's having the upside down inside of him, it just gets worse and worse in chapter 6, The Spy.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys want to...
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like it's... I don't know what I was going to say.
We come in and Will's waking up from his little episode.
And being like, I'm sorry.
And he doesn't recognize people, right? He's
like,
you're a doctor. But he's been talking to this doctor for months.
Yeah.
It's kind of like amnesia. Okay.
Let's actually back up for a second. I'll cut this part. Before we leave episode 5, basically with Hopper being rescued, the government shows up simultaneously. And goes to start burning all of the little tunnel vines in the field. And that triggers Will to have a huge episodic.
Yeah. Have a little fit.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like when you have a seizure?
Epilepsy?
Epileptic moment. And that was pretty intense.
Yeah, Will, that kid can seize with the best of them.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, that was a good, I've seen a lot of TV seizures, and that was a good one.
It's good. Oh, wow.
It's good. It's convincing.
Yeah, and then we open with, we move into season six with him waking up as the spy.
Right. So we see that the shadow monster is kind of like, taking over a little bit?
Yeah, or we just get a sense that like, Will waking up, he doesn't...
A little less Will.
A little less Will, yeah. A little more stiff and
He knows
robotic.
Mom. He knows friend.
But he doesn't
doctor.
Know Bob.
Right, but he doesn't know Bob at all.
Yeah, and Bob was there for him emotionally.
I mean, yeah, it definitely...
And
I mean,
he gave him some bad advice.
Initially, they don't really realize that he's been, like, full-on possessed. They kind of think maybe, like, some sort of, like, memory loss. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you realize that this thing inside of him is just, like, trying to fake, like, it's Will. Mm-hmm. And that's what the issue is. That's why he doesn't actually remember anyone. He's, like, trying to, like, shuffle through his phone of contacts to figure out who's
who. You are Mom.
Yeah. Right? You're the mom, because you're a woman here and you care so much about me. So clearly, you're the mom.
What's weird is, like, why wasn't the Shadow Monster doing that from the get-go? Like, what did it...
I don't think he had that much control over Will.
Oh, yeah.
I think definitely it was growing.
Yeah. Shadow Monster, which we kind of learn is a hive mind type creature, is, like, its first exploration into humanity as a hive mind. So it's like coming in through Will and kind of learning him a little bit and trying
The more present he's there,
At first he had to, like, you know, shadow him, as you will, inside his body. He had to, you know, spend a few days interning before he was ready to fully take over.
Exactly.
He didn't get Bob, though. That's what I was like. Bob was there. Bob was literally there.
Yeah.
But Bob little loophole in that. But regardless, the doctors really don't know how to fix him. Mm. They're just like,
if the boy dies, the boy dies.
Yeah.
Well, one way to not to like a suggestion would be like not give what the shadow monster want. And I feel like they came up with that conclusion a little too late. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. They start placating to that shadow monster really quick.
Yeah. Oh, you like cold ass water. Yeah. Let me put some ice.
Well, speaking of animals part of the hive mind, so Max and Lucas meet up with Steve and Dustin as they're trying to find Dart. And they definitely bite off a lot of more than they can chew, because they definitely get Dart plus 5.
Yeah, like they six darts.
Yeah, they didn't know. So, clarification, is Dart like a demogorgon?
Yeah.
Demogorgon,
Demogorgon
from first season?
Yeah, I think that basically, I don't know what level of mutation the demogorgon is at.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely got to be like, you know, probably in the final state.
Yeah. I was just wondering.
But the demo dogs are on their way.
Okay, I was just wondering if it was the same villain we saw at first season.
I mean, did you think it was like kind of like not like the same like minion family, but not the same type of minion?
Well, I definitely was like, oh, this comes from the upside down.
Yeah, this is an upside down creature.
But I didn't really realize this was the same creature that like took Barb.
Did you guys watch the Alien movies? They're really doing an Alien thing here. Like in the first Alien, we had only the one human xenomorph alien, and then later on when the xenomorph, you know, uses dogs to incubate, you get like dog style xenomorphs, and I think that's maybe a callback to Aliens.
Oh, that's what they're playing. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what they do.
I haven't seen it.
See it.
I mean, I definitely think that like the demo dogs were
not that scary, honestly. I mean, in large numbers maybe, but
well, I feel like stuffing Steve's nail bats inside their mouth and be like, you know.
I think like if you look at how far they've come from season one, I mean, they're like ready, you know, like season one, Steve would never have stood out there with a pile of raw meat, ready to fight this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So now to us, like a lot of like, I think what originally like one Demogorgon looked like, oh my God, this thing is so scary in the first season, now looks like, oh, we need like 10 of them to feel like there's any real danger.
Stranger things. Yeah. More is better, I guess, is their thoughts on this. Just more little Demogorgons.
Yeah.
Scary than one Demogorgon.
Well, in the midst of the standoff, Steve looks like he's going to hold his own until like seven other demo dogs show up.
Yeah.
And we see some pretty handy bat work. Pretty impressive.
That was very impressive. That like bumped Steve up a few more notches.
I was super impressed how he like launched inside that car.
He like parkoured over the car and then one-handed bat back.
Dude, yeah.
The,
Steve was, his hair is still in place. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
It's all hairspray.
And as they're all like panicking inside the bus, we see Max and Lucas hold hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you guys expect that pairing? That couple to happen, or
I think I did.
I thought they were gonna do a love triangle like, from episode 3 or 4. I thought they were gonna do a love triangle between Mad Max and
Mike. Oh yeah, yeah, Mike. Yeah, they had that moment.
I was really upset because it's like that moment was girl pitting girls against each other. You know, yeah. We don't need that kind of. You know.
Well, now it just seems like it was completely pointless just to get L's wheels turning because like there was nothing after that. Mike was just completely still an asshole to Max.
After that. Yeah.
They had that moment where he's smiling and laughing together. Like,
well, does that not count?
Definitely. That's the thing like where I thought that the reason that Mike was so mean to Max is because like maybe he was like fighting these feelings for her.
Mm.
You know, I think everyone was really excited about the new girl, especially because she seemed so cool. But he especially was just like going out of his way to be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And this would really frustrate me about this season is like, would Elle ever really care? We touched about this in the last podcast, I know. But just again, like there's another scene that we're going to touch on where I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems out of character.
Yeah,
especially for Elle.
It does seem out of character.
But she's maybe it's the hormones, you know.
She's being a little bit of a brat.
It's
I guess,
all puberty now.
Yeah.
You should have called this Stranger Things 2 puberty.
Yeah.
Colon puberty.
Well, Will's puberty seems to be getting the best of him because basically, once the shadow monster inside of him figures out where he's at, he's like, oh, okay, we got to get all these scientists. I know we're at this hospital. So then all the demo dogs run back towards Hawkins' lab.
Right.
And then all of our heroes follow them, basically.
Mm-hmm. Which is like going to kick off the main action set piece, the climax of the season. But this whole time, Elle's been missing in action. We don't know. We haven't had any updates on that.
Yeah.
The episode ends with the attack on the lab.
Yes.
Right.
And we're all still like, God damn it, if only Elle was here.
Right.
But she's in Chicago, where we all are. Basically a poorly disguised 2017 Chicago.
Right. You saw Trump Tower, right? Built in 2012, maybe 13.
I mean, you can't tear down buildings. I think they spent their CGI budget on other things.
On
guys.
Demogorgons.
They should have like filmed it in Indianapolis.
Gary, Indiana. That's all in Indiana.
I mean, they could have done the suburbs. I mean, they could have done Evanston.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah.
But clearly, like, the fashion sense is modern.
You know,
everything just seemed
modern.
If they
had actually done Evanston, they could have done, like, some Ferris Bueller locations, which would have been cool.
Yeah.
But they're still up there, so.
But
still
you, fun. I mean, would you have your hardcore urban punk crew not, I mean, in Evanston?
I mean, there's a lot of people who pretend like they're hardcore urban punks
that's
in Evanston,
true, yeah.
So I'm not going to.
Yeah, they did seem like
that.
They were overdoing it.
This is some local
sorry
jokes
if you're from Evanston.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically she manages to track down 8. Her sister, who's also in the Rainbow Room that her mother kept flashing back to. And discovers that she's basically like living as a vagabond, seeking vigilante justice against those who've wronged her. I was kind of sad because I was happy that they reunited, but also sad because immediately 8 was trying to figure out how to manipulate 11 into helping her kill other doctors.
Yeah, I guess I was confused about that because it seemed kind of genuine, their reunion. But at the same time, immediately she goes into like, this girl can find people, you know, and I don't know if it was like we should get her to join our cause or like we can use.
I think in a way that she definitely skips the connecting step of if Elle even like wants to do it. Mm-hmm. Like she assumes like, well, you went through the same traumatic experience. So of course you want to do this. Like that wasn't even like the thought in her mind wasn't really like. I think that her own anger kind of like overshadowed her judgment. And I think when you've been through things that she's been through, it's hard for you to, I guess, take a step back and say like, do I need to go this route? You know, like,
I mean, they're already assassinating, they're picking people off of a list already. They're in the middle of the list. So it's like they're already full on in.
Well, in 11, I mean, they really don't touch upon this whole like theme of like being the outcast and really being like screwed over by society. I mean, what'd you guys think about like her other people in the crew? Like they probably all really had some like intensely sad backstory mm-hmm. that we never get. And it kind of makes them foil characters, but.
Yeah, we just know that she rescued them.
Yeah, they don't go into any details. That's what kind of made this whole adventure a little bit empty to me. Like, I thought it was very interesting and it was cool to see another superhero, a super anti-hero, whatever. But, like, Axel's character was just annoying. We don't know anything about him. Dottie, we don't know anything about any of them.
We only know that Dottie was at some point in some sort of institution for crazy people. But we don't know how she got there. We know that she, like, ran away from home earlier. We really don't know anything about them. And it does. I know that we don't have time necessarily to dig into all these things. If there was an opportunity to replace the fluff that happened earlier this season with some actual like backstory.
Yeah. To make this scene a little more important, because this whole episode is very neatly wrapped where she does the thing and then she comes out the other side to come back. Right. But it all just seems like a setup for her to get a transformation. You know what I mean? To get that new look.
They wanted to get her that punk look.
Yeah, right. I mean, basically like 8, you know, or Callie. I don't know how you guys want to say it. Like, just saying 8.
Yeah, I'll take 8.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how many pep talks do we need from 8 to 11? You know what I mean?
I was really annoyed how she still had like a British accent. I was like, you were kidnapped when you were a kid.
Right.
Well, she should be at least, she should be like 7. You know, she's definitely older than 11. So. Yeah.
But I don't know. 11 was born into,
she was taken at birth, right? 11 was.
Yeah, but the girl was kidnapped.
Oh, okay.
Collie was kidnapped. So I mean.
English,
but I do think that is a good point, that actually retaining her accent is really unlikely at that age.
But it's,
the
I
actress
mean, I
probably
it.
Has an accent and then she doesn't do a very good American accent. So just go on your own.
Let it go.
All right, yeah, that's nitpicking.
So basically, after her dark transformation, they decide we're going to, you know, do our first kill together. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the scientists that Eleven recognizes from her mom's traumatic experience.
Yeah, it's the guy who's after mom.
I was kind of, I was like a little frustrated by this because such a buildup for literally nothing.
Yeah, I mean, played very safe.
Mm-hmm.
Elle's already a killer. Like, if she killed that guy, it would have been kind of more
like whatever.
I think it would have added to her character, because I think she would have also like realized. I mean, so far we've only really seen her kill in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
So having her really being forced to that kind of like moral dilemma of like, this is a person who isn't directly trying to hurt me, but who has inadvertently hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So am I allowed to make that call? You know, and I think it would have been I think it would have been good character development for her to like lose control and actually kill him and then realize that he had daughters.
I agree.
That would have been a crazy like twist.
Like kill him and then the daughters just show up in the room and be like, oh no, my dad, you know, and then she has to like be remorseful. But maybe that's too much to put on like a 12-year-old.
I mean, we've seen her drop like 5 different like SWAT team members in the hallway last season. So
let's see her actually.
I think if we're going to like Stranger Things has a unique opportunity to be kind of heavier. They aren't on a network television show.
That's true.
Like they can, you know, they have the full weight of Netflix behind them. So if they had done something that dark, they definitely could have gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of cursing this episode. Clearly this entire season. Clearly it's not for kids.
Right.
You know, they know who's watching the show and it's not like 4-year-olds. You know.
You're definitely right. I think that would have been a better story development if she like killed the guy and had to deal with the remorse of seeing the children distraught.
Yeah. Anything that would have made this seem a little deeper. I mean, they opened the season with reveal of 8 and now 8's done after one episode. Her whole exploration into 8 is kind of wrapped up very neatly. And it doesn't seem like it did anything for.
You don't think it's going to come back to season 3? Like she's going to be the big bad wolf that haunts.
Well, we can like say that for your prediction. But I think it's definitely not the last we've seen of her.
Yeah,
but
it's not the last.
Right before they leave the house, the guy they're trying to kill, I can't remember his name right now, but basically he says that Papa's still alive.
Yeah.
Lulu, you expressed that you were skeptical.
I was like, all right, I didn't really register it. I just assumed he wasn't. I also didn't think there was going to be a season 3, to be honest, of Stranger Things.
Wow, really? You thought they were just going to like wrap it up here?
You think they're just going to kill this cash cow right now?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know. I was just like, I wasn't even... We didn't really see him die. So, like, if anybody knows good soap opera, you know that's never the end for the villain. So I should have known better is what I'm saying. Like, I should have realized, like, registered that.
Well... I mean, I guess we will find out. I mean, I think Elle's definitely going to continue her search for him as she heads back to Hawkins, where her she just feels like her real home is now.
She takes the happiest train to Indiana that's ever existed.
Yeah, that definitely was. Oh, God. I mean, but before we completely leave Chicago, let's talk about the awesome soundtrack of this entire episode.
Oh, yeah.
The Lost Sister.
They brought in John Carpenter. That was pretty sweet. They had the Escape from New York score playing throughout the episode at different points for her transformation, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely some dark synth. It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably where this season shines the most for me is the score. I fucking love the score.
Yeah, undoubtedly. It was like, it's just epic, awesome, dark, moody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the side of the 80s you don't really get to see, because I feel like a lot of 80s movies goes the whole like bright, sunny, everything's neon route. So it's nice that we got to see the...
I mean, not horror, but not horror 80s movie. 80s
oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's good that Stranger Things seems to be like a hybrid of your favorite, like, John Hughes movies was your favorite.
John Carpenter movies.
John Carpenter movies, yeah.
Get you a John who can do both. All right. Well, back in Hawkins, basically the lab is overrun by the Demodogs now.
Mm-hmm.
Elle has seen in a vision that they're, you know, Hopper and Mike are both trapped there. So that's really where she's headed first. We have Steve and the rest of the gang outside, but they can't get in because the doors are locked. So Bob decides that he's going to basically go on a solo mission to the basement to recode.
Awesome move from Bob. Shining right now.
Hopper, cutely. teach it to me. Yeah, let me teach you how to code right now. You, let me teach you fucking French fool. Too.
Yeah.
Fucking jock. No, I thought it was really awesome to see Sam step up, because I mean, I don't know if I would have stepped up. Like, you're asking me to cross this lab and go code on some terminal somewhere? That's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, and at least some of them have been kind of battle hardened by these things, you know? Like, this is their second go around with it.
Like, Sam has, like, been proudly soft the whole season, and he, like, just kind of accepts this responsibility with very good resolve. Like, he didn't even think about it. He's like, all right, I guess it's got to be me. Let's do it.
Yeah. He just doesn't have, you know, the physicality to, like, rip vines off himself like Hopper can. But
he rips vines off his mind.
He's untethered his mind.
It's a great point. I mean, like, he was dropped in at the peak of crazy. Like, he was in no way really, like, warmed into, like... It was like, hey, solve this puzzle. Now we're going to go into this, like, demonic underworld. Okay, now, like we're going to bring you to a place where all these like, demon dogs are running.
We're
going
to bring you
through
to a lab with a portal to hell in it.
Yeah, there's, like, blood everywhere. Like, oh, my God.
Dead scientists and
this guy works for Radio Shack, people.
But he played, like, Dungeons & Dragons when he was a kid, like, you know, Mike and Will and all those kids. So he probably has...
Look, he's brought a ring to a volcano, you know, in his day. Okay?
Yeah. I'm just saying that he is, like, the adult version of, like, one of those little kids.
You see the Sam come out of Bob.
That's true. That's so true. Like, that parallel of, like, Jonathan mentions he doesn't see, like, what his mom sees in Bob. And definitely he's, you know, like, one of the kids, like, grown up. And it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He was the president of the AV club, and he helped fund that all himself.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Through, yeah, it is awesome.
Bob, stand up. But unfortunately, Bob, his big brain, Bob the Brain, leaves his goddamn heater on the fucking countertop.
I mean, but at that point, I don't think having, he makes it out of the, I don't think having the gun would really have helped him.
Mm.
Because to be honest, he would have shot that one demo dog and called the rest of them to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
I think
maybe
the best way,
that moment,
the best way was to sneak away. And I think the way he was caught off guard was, like, he couldn't have shot that thing anyway.
Mm.
I think, if anything, why doesn't freaking Joyce have a gun? It's like, Joyce, do something.
Yeah.
She stands there and screams.
They are both, like, very ill-prepared. Like, even when they were going to rescue Hopper, like, neither of them decided to grab a gun or grab a knife. To, like, they just decided, like, okay, we'll find where Hopper is, and then
they're going
to
use their brains.
And then, yeah.
That's true. I mean, Joyce, for to be, like, the concerned mom, is often really the damsel in distress of this series. Like, she constantly has to rely on other people's help to really, like, you know.
Thank God Hopper
solve the puzzle
had a knife.
And to do anything. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, they make her like a toothless mom, you know, like she's always worried and trying to help her kids. But when it comes down to it, she can't do it alone. And I guess that's not like a bad message. You got to rely on friends. But like,
just bring
give
a knife.
Her some teeth.
You know? Bring a gun, Joyce.
Like, I'm like, shouldn't everyone be gun trained? Like, has no one learned anything from like last time? Like, this should have been, I don't know. Like,
as soon as you saw it was jumping off again, like, oh, we're about to experience this stuff.
Like,
again?
I don't know why they ever thought like it would be the end of what had happened. Mm-hmm. That it was like never going to.
Yeah, they didn't shut
again.
The lab down. They just kind of ran away.
Yeah. So I mean, that kind of like makes me disappointed. I mean, I think we knew that we needed some sort of like big character death. And the rest of the cast definitely has some like plot armor. So there's who else are going to kill?
Yeah, they made us fall in love with Bob so he can be taken away from us.
So they can give us the slow motion eating of his face and throat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They want to make sure you know he's dead.
Dead AF. Yeah. No Barb mystery here.
No. Well, now, so the gang, basically the rest of them escape the hospital, minus Paul Reiser's the doctor character. Yeah. He's left there manning the station.
Yeah, in his first act of goodness, he stays behind to be Overwatch, which
I think
cool.
He was always trying to do good. It's not...
I mean, you can be on his side. It's totally fine. And they go back to the one place I was like, don't go back there first.
Right.
They go back to the buyer's house. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, you're in the forest. Like, what are you doing?
I know this house is always like kind of ground zero for some reason, and I don't know why.
It's because it's got such great walls.
They should definitely have moved a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I also like don't. I mean, so they go back to that place. They know that Will now is like sort of a spy. Mm. So they need to make a place that he has been at a lot look like a place he's never been.
Right.
So they outfit the shed to look like an interrogation.
Yeah.
They have an intervention.
They like, I don't understand why they had to also, how do you say, cover the seats that he was sitting. Like they like
they
wrapped around cardboard.
They didn't want like him to see anything that might hint to where he was. And we also get that moment between Steve and Nancy where Steve tells Nancy that she can go.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we didn't get there yet. Let me back up. Okay. Wrap the seats.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Like this.
Okay. And so they begin their weird interrogation.
Love bombardment. Trying to reach Will underneath the shadow monster, right?
Yeah. The worst intervention.
I actually...
It worked.
Well, so we get another scene where they're like solving a little puzzle of Morse code. And to be honest, I'm like, couldn't he just like... Wouldn't it be great if we just like had a little moment where like Will does break through and like struggles and just says like, close the gate and then like turns back into the shadow monster?
Yeah.
Like, we don't really need like... Do we need 15 minutes of a Morse code scene?
Right.
Or I guess it was like realistically six. But
yeah.
It still felt like a long time.
It did. It was a long, drawn-out puzzle.
I mean, how long do I need to hear, should I say, or should I go?
Right.
Like...
And then the phone rings. Like, they didn't... I guess that makes sense. They're not going to think to unplug the phone, but...
I mean, like Steve said, that could be a phone literally anywhere.
I know. Right. That was, like, kind of, like, a real big reach to be like, okay, this...
But I guess if it's your phone at home...
I think also, I think he was just like, well, where have I heard this phone before? Let's just go to his house. Just send him. I mean, at this point, Shadow Monster's going to just send him.
Thumb through the...
Yeah, they're not even there, I don't think the Shadow Monster would have cared. Mm-hmm. Like, he took it as a hint as where to start looking.
Right.
So
he sends the dogs.
And that's when they realize they have to... They're like, oh, shoot, they're coming. And they start getting ready for another battle. That doesn't have to happen. Because guess who comes back?
And her big reveal. This is her reveal for everybody else. And she comes in her new getup
Like the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
And she has to automatically treat Mad Max like shit.
Oh, she treated her so hard.
I'm like, doesn't Elle, like, hasn't she been so big on, like, finding a sister? Mm. I'm like, this is literally a person who's your age, who's cool friends with your friends. Like, yeah. This is an easy segue.
Also, what is her understanding of, you know, I would think, like, she was so isolated and had, like, no kid. Like, no friends growing up, you know, that she was thinking, oh, cool, a girl, you know?
Another
like,
kid. Yeah, and it is, like, really disappointing that, like, it's, I guess she'll warm up to her, hopefully, by next season. But it's definitely, like, some kind of, like,
did they even readdress
tension
that?
We don't need. No, they never address it again.
Yeah.
And it's really dumb.
It is dumb. What do you think of Mike's little temperature tantrum with Hopper? I feel like that was probably in Finn Wolfhard's contract. I want a scene where I can showcase my anger or something like in my chops, you know, like.
I think that I understand. Like, he's like, dude, you know, I've been upset about this whole goddamn time. You know, like, it's been a year. Like, think about a year of like you worrying about someone and someone close to you, like, not only knows they're okay, but has been harboring them, you know, and. So the same point, like, when Hopper's like, don't be mad at her. And he's like, why would I be mad at her? Like, I'm only mad at you. Like, when what world would I be mad at Elle? Like, so I think.
So you think it was justified, his temper tantrum?
I think it was just, he was just frustrated and sad and overwhelmed and happy. Yeah, he's a kid. We're I definitely understand.
More puberty, more hormones.
Exactly. I mean, and also they were just, I don't know, like, these people are like, running from their lives. These are really intense emotions for a kid. And then all of a sudden he like realized Eleven was alive. It seems fitting to be having those emotions towards Hopper. And Hopper was a jerk. He could have at least like, hey, like winked and said like,
She's good.
The thing is, I think
Don't worry about Eleven, wink.
But I think like also the more people that knew about it, the more people that would be, I mean,
you saw how deep the claws were. The government was like, really actively searching for her.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were tapping all their phones. I think it was a matter of like, it was in everyone's best interest that Elle did remain hidden, as painful as it was for everyone.
Well, that's why they had to hug it out. And do a Matt Damon cry at the end there.
Well, they reunite and then have to split up again because they basically form a plan. After Will tells them they need to close the gate, they realize that Eleven is the one who opened it. Maybe she can close it again.
She's pretty confident in her ability to close interdimensional portals.
She was not that confident. Because when Joyce is like, you can close it again. She was like, she really confirmed that she could.
She just had resolve. I guess she wasn't confident.
She just looked at her like, if you go back in this episode, she does not react directly to the statement. She looks at her like a little, I registered that as uncertainty. I don't know about you guys, but
what's the big deal though? She survived the first time.
It's true.
I guess that's true. Like, okay, remember that time you only had to kill one Demogorgon and you disappeared for a year? Do this times 1,000. Just for real, never come back, I guess, if that's what it takes.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, so they split up to, so Elle and Hopper go to the lab to close the gate. While Nancy, Jonathan, Will, and Joyce go to Hopper's cabin to basically burn the evil out of Will.
Right. They realize they can't close the gate with the shadow monster inside Will because it could kill Will.
Oh, yeah. So basically they think it might be operating on some sort of like vampire.
Right.
No,
it's like a viral. They use the D&D analogy with the mind flayer.
To me, it's like more of a vampire analogy, like kill the head vampire.
Yeah, and then
little vampires die.
The sire. That's why you call the head vampire the sire.
The sire. Oh, okay. Yeah,
kill the sire.
I'm getting schooled by Lulu, guys, on vampire terminology.
Very, very rare, but I know some things about vampires.
So they go to burn out of him back at the cabin while basically Steve does best.
He's on babysitter.
I mean, I really like that scene between Nancy and Steve where Steve's kind of like, you know, it's cool. Like, if you want to date Jonathan, whatever.
I'm a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a good babysitter.
I don't think Steve was a shitty boyfriend.
He was not.
Steve was not a shitty boyfriend.
He went to eat chicken with her friend's dead friend's parents.
That's true. And it's not like he you know, I don't know, new Barb.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, like, so he didn't want you to get drunk at a party. He said he loved you. He was considering not going to college right away so he could be around you while you're in school. Like, what about Steve was bad?
Yeah. I mean, there's no, like, let's analyze season one, Steve, right? Like, what exactly, made him
bad boyfriend? Oh, did he fight Jonathan that alley? He was kind of that has nothing to do with him being a bad boyfriend.
We're so past from that. Like, at this point, just looking at the relationship
But he was kind of, like, had those bad friends. I mean, like, I don't want to...
I just don't think Steve should feel like he was a bad boyfriend, because from what we saw, he wasn't really a bad boyfriend. Their relationship just, like, didn't work out.
Yeah, he's not really King Steve anymore. He's a different person, and he's kind of been, like, stepping up as a boyfriend. I don't know why he thought he was a shitty boyfriend.
Yeah, I guess King's... Yeah, and we'll never talk about...
He didn't... I remember season one, we thought he was going to, like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, Nancy, but he didn't do that. He instead, like, ditched his friends.
Yeah, he seemed to be genuinely hurt when Nancy said she didn't love him.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, he definitely, in that bathroom scene, she definitely was really hurt by it. Mm-hmm. I mean, but we get this season the death of King Steve, and this happens when Billy shows up to find out where his sister is.
After that very charming scene with Mrs. Wheeler.
Oh, my God.
Can we talk about that for a moment? Billy...
Can we also talk about Billy's dad?
Okay, let's rewind. So we definitely get the death of King Steve this season. While he's watching the kids, Dustin, Lucas, Max, at the buyer's house, Billy, Max's brother, was supposed to be watching her, and their parents came home. I mean, I didn't know they had parents. I thought they were like some kind of orphan.
Right. Like witness protection orphans or something.
I mean, we do learn in the junkyard that their parents remarried and stuff. That's why they're like, you know, stuck together. But Billy's level of dick is like the level of like where she murdered someone and he had to cover it up and is now holding it above her head. Right. Not like I'm just your older stepbrother.
Right. Yeah. He's like, he has to get into mini boss mode after being sent out by Neil, was his name?
Yeah. His dad. But
so he's abusive. That's what we...
I mean, upon watching it the first time, I felt like his dad was abusive, kind of. But then, like, watching it a second time, I'm like, no, like, Billy's kind of a little shit.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, this is a 17-year-old teenager. Dude, your sister's missing. You're sitting over here, like, looking at yourself. Like, I came home. Like, the way physically, like, Billy challenges his stepdad is...
His actual dad
does need to be checked. I don't know. It was out of line.
Mm-hmm. I have like no idea if Billy is the way he is because he has an abusive dad and he's like just doing what his dad did to him to Max. But I also was like, Billy is a dickhead. And
maybe like, his dad is acting like that because Billy is that
old. Yeah, it's like a chicken of the egg situation for sure. Like, we really don't know. I'm not saying any parent abuse is okay. But I'm just saying that, like, at the level of unto which Billy has acted where he's almost hit someone with a bunch of kids with his car, like,
Billy is a knucklehead.
He does need to go to military school. He needs to be sent somewhere. He's out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's definitely going to kill a prostitute later in life.
But he knows how to turn on the charm.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
While looking for Max, he ends up going to... This scene was so unnecessary, but it was one of my favorite scenes of this whole season.
It was a treat. I mean, when I saw Billy put cologne on his dick, I thought, this guy has no game. But with Mrs. Wheeler, he turned it on. I believed it.
I was not into the Billy Kool-Aid really that much. Mm-hmm. This scene, I was like, I don't know.
You were charmed.
I mean, his shirt was fully unbuttoned. I don't know.
I don't know.
It felt like it was working.
Well, it clearly worked on Mrs. Wheeler. She gave him what he needed to track down the kids.
Yeah, and then it turns out the buyer's house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would she think though? Like, this kid, like, what, you know, she can't.
I mean, she in no way knew that, like, he was, like, a dick. He just was like, this hot guy, let's find a sister, cool.
Yeah, he's so hot and
She left him into the house.
Yeah. It was super nice. Like, why would you?
She not? Gives him. I'm just saying, like, he could be a serial killer. You don't know this kid. You've never seen him in your life. Right. And he just shows up saying, charmed. Like,
that's what's so scary.
How well, how good of a charmer he is. He shows up at the buyer's house and he finds Steve basically with his sister. And he
makes a good point. He finds King Steve in this cabin in the woods.
And the buyer's house.
And the buyer's house.
Lying about where his sister is.
Like, I'd be like,
That is
What's
some
up, dude? This is weird.
That's some freaky shit.
Yeah. I mean, without any explanation, it's weird shit, but we already know Billy's an asshole, so.
Yeah.
That, honestly, that's a great point. And I do like that we get that duality of, like, we don't really know the situation. Like, if we had not seen Billy up until this point, we just seen him, like, hey, I came to find my sister, and you're fucking lying about it, dude. Like, I would be like, yeah, that looks weird.
Yeah.
Like, it does, in all defense.
Of course, the stupid kids ruined Steve's cover by peeking their heads up.
I know. It's like they...
he might not have known he lied.
It's a part of the story. I get it. Everybody's got to be like half stupid and everything.
Like, and then we get the mini boss fight with Steve fighting Billy. I mean, I'm glad that he didn't win because I was actually surprised. I thought that Phil was... I mean, I thought that Steve might get the upper hand. But ultimately, it's Max who has to basically mirror what his dad did.
Mm-hmm.
Put him down.
Yeah, which brings to light, like, okay, is his dad abusive, these are just the measures you have to do with a kid like Billy?
Maybe you just have to check him, like, to tell him, bring him to that level, like,
maybe hug him a little more.
Do you think that, like, after this fight, I don't know if you guys have been in fights as a kid, but have you ever gotten to fight with someone and, like, been friends with them later?
Oh yeah.
So I feel like maybe this could be the beginning of, like, you know, Billy and Steve actually, you know.
Maybe there's a thing.
Find
here.
Some common ground.
Yeah.
Or Billy and Max.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice too.
Yeah, they actually become sibling friends. Well, I don't know. I was really hoping for some Billy Steve gay erotica.
Yeah. But, oh, I'm sure you can find it.
Maybe that's the thing with Billy is that he's just gay and he's got all this, like, pent up. But and then his
what does
dad
he say in the shower? Are there plenty of bitches in the sea?
Yeah.
You can have some of mine.
Yeah.
That's a little overcompensating.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was overcompensating. Who knows? I mean, his pants are really tight.
That's true.
You know?
Mm-hmm. He does put cologne on his dick.
I mean, I guess we'll find out in season 3. But basically, after they defeat Billy, they figure out that they could really help 11 close the gate if they distract the demo dogs. Yeah. How can they do that? They go burn basically their little underground headquarters. So they go to defend it, thus drawing them away.
Right. They run a decoy mission to the hive mind's hive mind.
Yes. Right. And luckily, Steve is incapacitated, so unable to stop them.
Right. So he wakes up mid-mission and has to babysit during this mission, which I thought was awesome. They all had their little uniforms.
I thought they were taking him to the hospital.
They iced his face. Put some ice on. Don't touch it, bro. We're on our way to...
They should have. Yeah, they did not. For a second, I thought they were going to leave him there. Yeah. And, like, we're not going to... There's, like, no, throw him in the car. We got to go.
I mean, if he wakes up, we need him, basically.
Or they didn't even know if he was okay, really.
I mean, you're going to leave him in the room with Billy? What if who wakes up first? You never know.
Yeah.
That's true. Steve resists, but ultimately they go down to set stuff on fire. And they do. That's, we can wrap that up really quickly.
And it works. Yeah,
and it works. And it works.
It all works out. Like, what? All at the same time, they'd all turn up the heat.
Yeah. They start the fire. Basically, as everyone turns up the heat in their own parties.
Yeah.
It works out.
Yeah, the shadow monster gets burned out of Will. Simultaneously, they tell L to close the gate. L starts closing the gate, and
that scene was epic.
Oh yeah.
Like her, like, Dark Phoenix, like, levitation, like, intense both hands. Awesome.
The double nosebleed.
Yeah. That
she
was
uses her new powers.
That was sweet.
Closes it with her feelings.
Leveled up.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought I was going to kill her. I mean, glad it didn't. She shows up with a snowball. But, you know, she was knocked out, right?
Yeah.
Hopper had to carry her.
I mean, realistically, that was actually pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
All things considered.
Yeah.
Like, thanks to, like, the kids going there to distract the demo dogs first, you know? Yeah. Because Hopper barely manages to keep them off it long enough.
Yeah, she's patching a hole in the fabric of space-time between dimensions. Like, she does it relatively easily with the decoy mission.
She seems like
clutch.
She seems like the most powerful of all of the experiments, right? Like,
yeah, I mean,
number 8.
I definitely,
kind of like change like your perception.
Which is but I only momentarily.
Yeah.
You know, only for like a couple minutes. Which is like, I wonder if, I mean, There's got to be more somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see some that are maybe even more popular, more popular, more powerful, and maybe therefore more popular with the fans.
I don't know.
I think 11 might be the end because she's the one who opens
the gate. Yeah.
So like that's their big concern now. We got this fucking gate. Let's investigate and like see what we can do with
investigate the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she was
gate.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody more powerful than 11. You know.
But going back to that 11 being the want to open the gate. I mean, how do we know they wanted her to open the gate? How do they know the gate existed?
Didn't they like hurt her in such a way where she like has a huge outburst and that's what tears open the gate?
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, but like we don't. Oh, like she caused it involuntarily.
Right. They were using her mind powers. She was able to cross into the shadow plane, and that's how they were finding people. They were using her to find people and to spy.
I think the shadow monster touched her or something. Sorry. And then created like a...
She's supposed to be like a government weapon to spy on like other people.
Yeah, they were using her to like find people, right? Remote they were showing viewing. Her pictures, find this person, and then they would find him. Right. And then something happened.
This actually was like a real study.
So we know that like the government was using Elle and she accidentally opened the gate.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a bunch of other mutants out there.
Right.
Let's wrap this up. I mean, we see Dart. Did anyone care?
Dart? I cared. It was a total plot hole. If he's part of a hive mind, like he shouldn't be separate from the pack in order to like bond with anybody or, you know, enjoy Nougat more. I mean, maybe they all enjoy Nougat now, but like he should, he was definitely supposed to be part of the pack, but I kind of like the idea of him turning out to be okay.
I really was like, I really wish we had never seen him again.
Yeah.
I was over Dart before it began.
I don't know. There's this thing. I don't know. I have this problem with things that are ugly are inherently evil. You know, so like when I
he
see
was straight
something,
up from the upside down though. Wow. He was not inherent like he sounds like he was like an ugly puppy. This man was straight up evil.
And plus he started off cute. He was like a little slug.
Well, I mean, the upside down is so evil, then what is the right side up? Like we live in this world, it seems there's a lot more evil shit going on here.
Okay, well I guess the real question is like can you choose just like in the real world, can you choose to be good in the upside down? Just like you can choose to be evil here?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what are the philosophical implications of a parallel universe in which everything is dark and bad?
I mean,
for another time, maybe.
I mean, it's never like we've seen anything nice come out of it, so.
It's true, and everything seems to be ugly, and everything's dark.
Like, remember,
that's pretty shitty. I
mean,
maybe there's just no Nougat around, though.
Yeah, well then, with everything wrapping up nice with Little Bo, we get our final closing dance at the Snowball, which is a scene I really don't want to talk about.
Literally half the episode.
It's a scene I also like kind of tuned off because it's like,
I mean,
but it was cute that Nancy went and danced with Dustin.
But it was such a pity dance.
This scene could have been done in 4 minutes.
That's true.
And I think I actually talked to my friend about this and we agreed that it would have been more awesome if like instead of dancing separately and pairing off, like they could have reinforced their whole group unity by just
and
like all dance together.
Yeah, that's what
like how awesome would that have been if like Elle finally and Max like smiled at each other and we got that they
whole
weren't
thing
pissed.
Ended in a cuddle puddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like instead it turned into some weird teenage love story. They're all like 12. Like what is this obsession with like dating?
It's not that crazy what I said at first.
I mean, I don't think they should be afraid of their sexuality. You know, they're blossoming young kids, but it shouldn't be like the main thing about who they are.
Yeah, they should be like more like a Scooby gang, you know, they all just maybe at the end be like, oh, we're not going to couple up and exclude each other and make Dustin feel like an odd man out.
I mean, dude, like Will, aka Zombie Boy, got asked to dance before Dustin. Like literally the guy who people think is possibly undead got someone first.
Wasn't there like implications that he was a gay character in the first season?
I don't think so.
Yeah, early in the first season, remember? Like the buyers, like he's different, right? Like yada yada. Like they
would have been nice. I mean, do something.
It would have been nice,
it would have been nice if Max had maybe not liked any of them or maybe had, I don't know. Like, I felt like there was a lot of stuff.
I don't think she, like, liked Lucas. Like, I don't know. Lucas liked her. And it's nice that.
But do you think, like, in any way, like, I know as we're wrapping this up, a big point of the whole show has been that, like, yeah, we are, like, ripping on a bunch of, like, 80s tropes. But at the end of the day, are they really, like, subverting it? Are they really making it? are they doing it in a really clever way, or are they just copying it and saying, hey, look, we're copying it. Isn't this cool? And that's
it. Oh, they're definitely just copying it. It's like the dart was like a reimagination of E.T. or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what point?
Snowball is like pretty pink, pretty in pink, you know, like the Last Dance.
I'm just like, yeah, like if you're going to do these things, like give us that twist, you know, like that we want, like make it worth. I mean,
maybe that's what they set out to do, but I feel like this entire season has been fan service. So,
yeah.
I mean, some of it was enjoyable. Yeah, I enjoyed the season, but I mean, this is kind of the cherry on top of all the fan service.
I'm just takes a little more to please me. So I don't need it to be so like, oh, because I don't know. It just seemed, yeah, like it was fan serving, and I would have preferred if it was something like, oh shit, I didn't see this coming. Instead, it was like,
obviously,
it's.
What did you guys think about, I mean, and also just to, for, I don't want to just breeze by this, Elle has now officially Hopper's kid, but
that's tight.
She has a little birth certificate.
Jane
so.
Hopper. Yeah. I mean, I like Elle better as a name, but
yeah, they should have kept Jane. They should have kept Elle, because, but then again, they don't want to probably remember
her slave name. Yeah.
That's her just slave like, name. That is true.
Yeah, I think it's cute. I think now she's going to get to go to school and be kind of normal, we guess. But I mean, we know that things aren't going to stay this way for long. There's just some foreshadowing, as Hopper says, like, you know, like, how long do we have to lay low? And
he says a year.
Yeah, he says a year. The doctor says a year when they're talking.
Another year.
So
I think that's like
obviously
a hint, a little wink.
Next year. I think it seems like they're going to do this show every Halloween. And clearly it's not going to be the end of the Shadow Monster, as we see.
They're going to go
to
the
90s. Upside down.
He's still in the upside down. He's still looking at them, like, well, watching them from the upside down. He's like hanging out at the school, like he's.
I mean, so what do we think this is like a dimension to it? Like, these are aliens connected through a portal, or do we think it's like some sort of like alternate dimension, not a planet?
No, it's definitely an alternate dimension.
Maybe it's like a different time. You know, like,
way in the future.
Way in the future, yeah, and maybe, somehow.
Maybe it's just a time thing.
I don't know.
I mean, that'd be cool.
Yeah, alien invasion.
Well, but they definitely, like we found out, they've signed for 2 more seasons. So
yeah, well, I guess we're in for some more strange things.
Yeah.
We're going to see these kids turn into teenagers, and it's going to freak me out.
They're going to do a Harry Potter on us.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm ready for it. Okay, before we wrap up, out of 5 stars, what do you guys give this season?
I give it 3.75 stars.
I give it 3 stars.
Three? Whoa. Hard.
Yeah, I'm a harsh critic.
I'm going to also side with TJ. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give it a 4.
You have 4 stars?
Okay. I had a good time. The soundtrack was
awesome. It was
awesome.
Fun. The soundtrack was amazing.
Kids'
it was
performances
fun.
Were awesome. I think that there were things in the story that definitely suffered from fan service for sure. But I think overall, I mean, now that they've kind of closed the loop on things that they kind of owed to us as an audience, I think now like season three.
Things we demanded as an audience.
Yeah, season 3 is a good opportunity for them to like, okay, here we go. This is now like we're full back in control of the story.
All right, so I guess we're on the lookout for Stranger Things 3 then.
I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to not watch it. I'm still all in.
Well, thank you guys so much for jumping on this podcast.
Absolutely.
And we'll see everyone else next time.
Thanks. Bye.
Yay, next year. Bye.